Welcome to Season 2 of At the Bedside Podcast, driven by curiosity, informed by evidence, and rooted in nursing practice. I'm Christiana Facey Crowther, and I'll be your nurse. Well, it has been a long year at the bedside, hasn't it? Year of the nurse and midwife, indeed. Bet that wasn't exactly how the planners of that event envisioned raising the profile of nurses and midwives, but it has highlighted the challenging conditions many of us practice under, which was part of their mandate, and it adds some urgency to advocating for increased investment. But the celebration part, yet not so much. So after a delay, thank you, pandemic, I am very happy to be back. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. And if you're returning, hello again. I'm excited to share Season 2 and grateful to the amazing people whose voices you'll hear who have contributed their knowledge and experience and their valuable time. It is so generous. And one of the sentiments guests consistently communicate to me is a respect for the value of skilled nursing care and a desire to contribute to advancing practice by sharing their expertise. So what's in store? I will be releasing episodes every 2 weeks. Some of the content I'll share is COVID-related, of course, but much of it will be related to the rest of the care we have continued to provide, often under difficult circumstances, and to topics relevant to the future of healthcare beyond this pandemic, because there is a beyond, there really is. In putting the content together, I try to reflect the way that I think many of us nurses learn and grow in this profession. I mean, in addition to formal educational programs, a mixture of personal experience, data and research evidence, and through the wisdom, stories, and experiences of others, patients and professionals alike. Because in my opinion, we are a profession full of storytellers. Sometimes it's just a straight interview with one guest. Other times, I've gotten ambitious and I try to weave together multiple stories across time. I'm trying to make content that's informative, but also interesting. I hope you like it. I have certainly learned so much, had many assumptions challenged, been humbled, and maybe you might too. Or you might just like the ego boost of having known it all already, and sometimes in an uncertain world, that feels pretty good. But this is the intro, so it's a little different, and it's just me. I'm a nurse in general surgery, predominantly oncology, but general medicine, geriatrics in there too, of course, especially these days. Here in Toronto, we are in the midst of our third wave, a variant and, in my opinion, arrogance-driven COVID surge that is totally overwhelming our critical care capacity, driving up acuity across the inpatient wards, and soon to slam our rehab and complex continuing care facilities. And this comes on the tail of two previous waves that absolutely devastated long-term care. So surgery is limited to emergencies only, again, and we are staring down a surgical backlog estimated to be around 250,000 cases and climbing. And maybe it's because of all this intensity, but I'm feeling a bit reckless. So in this intro, I'm going to attempt to comprehensively answer one of the most difficult questions asked in the hospital these days. Usually it is asked by someone walking briskly in the opposite direction as well. Hi, how are you? Except on very rare occasions, I put forward a motion that it be removed from the workplace for the remainder of 2021. We can revisit it in 2022. Like, how do you answer that these days? How am I? Well, I've been better. I've been better, and I am tired. It has been, and it continues to be, a challenging time of change, struggle, and loss. And learning. And I do feel grateful, sometimes through brute force of will. And hopeful. Finally. Been waiting for that one. But mostly just really damn tired. A pandemic is an endurance event. The fatigue is real. And just when we thought we could see the finish line, it's a seasonal virus, they said. Vaccines are here. I've had one. Roll back the public health measures. Evolution joins the race, blows up the road, and moves the finish line behind a mountain range. So yeah, a pandemic is an endurance event, and healthcare workers are very tired. And vacation banks, for those lucky enough to have them, are very full. You don't have to look far to find the challenges. Universal respiratory precautions, like enough said. In poorly ventilated, crowded buildings, and a virus that transmits with minimal or no symptoms. That is hard enough with training and practice and experience and a previous round with SARS for a staff of trained nurses, let alone all of the regular workplaces trying to get this right. Add to that a provincial pandemic plan that apparently did not get past step one, which was make a pandemic plan, and certainly did not get past step two, which was follow it. Add in racism and erosion of our public health and our social welfare systems, and here we are, in a mess. There has been one constant, and that has been change. From the fear and stress and relative chaos of the early days, just like living on adrenaline, so much has changed. The canceling of the rest of our lives, our kids being at home, redeployment for many. There were the ever-changing guidelines from everything from code blues, who needs to isolate, when to return to work, from PPE usage charts to meal tray deliveries. And so much more, where simple acts like drinking coffee while charting might lead to a chain of transmission that kills someone, or when the hand sanitizer dispensers were squirting out what must have been a failed batch of tequila? Remember that? I mean, thank you to the distilleries who came through and the creative people who managed that procurement process, but that was a low point. In a sea of constant change, we certainly learned the value of consistent, clear communication and have lived the erosion of trust that follows communication that is perceived to be defensive, dismissive, or lacking rationale. The constant change contributed to the struggle, and there were many struggles. There continue to be many struggles. The fear that patients experience of being infected while in hospital and their anxiety, and the need to do more, always more with less, to be more for patients who are so alone, so distressed, trying to maintain standards of basic care, with all of the additional infection control activities, the monitoring, the meetings, the sense that I can't meet my own standards for performance. I mean, I derive meaning from that, from a sense that I do my job well, that patients and their families, you know, for the most part, are satisfied with the care I provide. It is not always possible. I mean, it wasn't possible before the pandemic, but it is that much harder now. And the loss. There is always loss in the hospital. I mean, I work in cancer, loss of function, of time, of opportunities, of comfort. And of course, there's loss of life. And even before, being witness, many of these losses, of the suffering that attend them, have stayed with me, with all of us. But shutting out or severely limiting family, even when arguably necessary, I mean, that has been brutal. The psychological and instrumental support families and visitors bring is essential, truly essential. We can't provide the same care without them. The isolation of the patient, the trauma to the family, the loss of connection, and supporting the end of life under those circumstances has been just extremely hard, devastating. In the fall, I was speaking virtually with a university class, and the prof asked me if any positives had come from the pandemic. And at that time, I could not see any, not one. And they remain very few, and I wouldn't call them positives necessarily, but here is my shot at positivity anyway. I mean, of course, the hospital is a place with illness and death, but It is also a place of healing, recovery, hope, grace, and intimacy, those elements that attract us to the work in the first place. Those, thankfully, are still present. And maybe it was some combination of solitude or a sense of shared experience or vulnerability, or I just noticed them more, but I feel like I had some particularly meaningful connections. Like this soft-spoken man with a story to tell one day of escaping gang violence, of being a refugee, of his poor health, and of his learning to love and forgive after these terrible losses. All told, while I changed his dressings and struggled to remove 50 ingrown sutures from his sacrum and perineum through my tears and a foggy face shield, or the tough young person managing severe inflammatory bowel disease while living in a car through the winter, caring for their cat, proudly sharing stories of their creative solutions and laughing at the challenges they'd faced, laughing together. I cried alone later. Memories that patients share, wisdom gained over a lifetime, funny stories, knowledge gleaned from years of interesting work, of childhoods, of marriages, good and bad, of fears, of hope for the future, to return to a favorite lake, to ride a bicycle, to see a child, a grandchild, a dog. For so many, the pandemic has represented a loss of human connection or intimacy, but not for me, not on a ward. And of course, there are my colleagues. Not to minimize the risk of coming to work, of infection, of trauma or burnout, those are very present. The ever-present stress in a female-dominated workforce of what do we do with our kids? But I got to do it as part of a team. And when it gets tough, we pull together. People to laugh with, to go through it with, to hug. And I have the privilege of knowing I have something valuable to offer to society as we face this massive threat. And that is something. And through all of this experience, we've learned so much. We have learned, sadly, unnecessarily, this disease, how to recognize it, contain it. We are learning how to treat it. The next episodes I release will deal with treatment, how we're learning and what we're doing. And we are helping people recover. We've definitely learned new technology. We've been slow to embrace some technology in the health workforce, but it's coming. We've learned what it's like to have research literature out from behind the paywall. Nurses are interpreting, analyzing, and disseminating it ourselves. And if we did not know it before, we have certainly learned how racism plays a massive role in health in our communities. And this is largely thanks to the tireless efforts of the brave healthcare workers speaking out and demanding accountability, and demanding that nurses and PSWs get respect and recognition for the value of our knowledge and our labor. And I say brave because the pressure to stay silent is very real, with very real repercussions. And some of our leadership have been tireless and amazing. And so, yes, I am tired, like you are, and angry, and the challenges ahead are very real. There is an immense amount of work to be done, and more people will suffer, both directly and indirectly, from how this virus has been allowed to spread out of control in our communities, with disparate effects based on who you are, what you look like, where you were born, and where you work. But much has been learned, and there is reason to feel hopeful. The vaccines are coming. So if you're still here after all that is why you don't ask, how are you? So thank you for listening, for tuning in. I have some great content coming. I hope you join me. You can subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts, share, follow At The Bedside on Twitter or Instagram. This season is supported with funding from Sinai Health System and the Registered Nurses Foundation of Ontario Nurse Innovator Award. Take care of yourselves, and I will see you next time.